Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You who are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you, I have said to the Lord.
You are my Lord, my
prophet. I'm sorry.
All our life is in the godly and heavenly land, those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, take their names upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The celebration of Easter, of the resurrection on Easter Sunday, brings so much joy, exuberance, and hope. Throughout the centuries, this is proven true. So many hold memories of, well, special Easter clothes, Easter dresses and hats. We have memories of packed churches singing Easter hymns full of alleluias. There is so much joy. Like so many parties, what happens after the party bears a different witness. Cleaning up, returning to normal, getting back to before, all afford a different perspective for reflection. In this time when the world moves beyond the crisis of pandemic, people return to normal patterns, to former patterns. Many colleagues report that Easter worship attendance feels more like before COVID. To be sure, St. Andrew's felt a bit like that as well. As I stood over here and I looked around the room and I knew how much communion was available and the numbers didn't add up. And then I looked around to see, okay, who can go fill another communion tray for me? It was an exciting and glorious time. Indeed, at the 11 o'clock service, one two-year-old exclaimed at the end of the prelude, "Yay!" She set the tone for a worship service that was filled with wonder and joy. Today, the church encounters the resurrection in that time after the party. But wait a minute. It's important for us to remember that the gospel writers lift up stories of that resurrection morning that include all kinds of mixed feelings. Indeed, the disciples were overjoyed, and yet there was confusion, disbelief, wonder, fear, and so much more to fill that day. In John's gospel, Jesus tells Mary not to hold on to him, rather to go to the disciples, telling them that he is ascending to the Father, to God. And Mary Magdalene goes and tells the disciples that she has seen the Lord. Mark's gospel reports that the women left and didn't tell anybody anything for fear of what was going on. They were so overwhelmed. Matthew's gospel tells the faithful that the women left the tomb with fear and great joy and were met by Jesus. In Luke's gospel, the disciples did not believe the women's report of the resurrection. It seemed to them an idle tale. Some might translate that hogwash. All of this represents what the resurrection looks and feels like. Sometimes people report feeling a bit lost in the midst of the resurrection, in the midst of the celebration. Sometimes the celebration feels both wonderful and joyous and at the very same time disorienting and unreal. With all that in mind, we hear John tell about what happened that evening. Remember that crucifixion in the Roman Empire served as a warning. It served as a threat, as a reminder to the population to behave themselves. Even with Jesus raised from the dead, his disciples lived under the threat that they could be next. Logic suggests that they would lock themselves away for fear of the authorities. Wherever the disciples find themselves, in a locked room on the evening of the resurrection, as John's gospel tells us, or walking home to Emmaus, as Luke's gospel tells, Jesus shows up. In today's gospel, Jesus shows up behind the locked doors. He greets the gathered disciples. His greeting speaks more than a howdy and moves toward offering them peace and comfort. He identifies himself by showing his wounds from the crucifixion. Then he breathes on them and commissions them. Some suggest that Jesus breathing on the disciples in this moment is a resurrection event for all humanity. It reflects that first creation event where God breathes life into the first humans. It echoes the opening announcements of John's gospel, where through the Word enfleshed in Jesus the Christ, all things come into being. Indeed, the resurrection brings new life, new creation for all humanity. And he commissions the disciples for ministry of new life, a ministry of salvation, a ministry of forgiveness. And he does so with these words: if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The resurrection and its reality continues to unfold and show forth implications that defy comprehension. What is true for so many today was true then as well. So often the church focuses on Thomas in this text, missing the power and the promise of resurrection that interrupts all fear, all confusion, disbelief, and wonder. Thomas presents the very real truth that some struggle to believe, some struggle to trust, some cannot easily move beyond the loss of trust and the fear. This world is terrifying. The threats keep coming. And yet with Thomas, the resurrection persists. Jesus meets him where he lives. Jesus reveals himself, identifies himself, breathes on him new life. And still, all who continue to hear these stories have promises that Jesus meets us where we live. May he continue to reveal himself, identify himself, bring new life for each one of us in this time. Today.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.